result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Here we'll study these first three verses, relatively short passage, but a loaded and pregnant passage. As we approach our new year of 2019, we will inevitably approach a new year of trials, won't we? In fact, I'm willing to bet that every one of us is going through a trial right now, whatever magnitude it is, a trial that could be physical, relational, economical, or simply circumstantial. Trials can be fast and furious, rush upon us so quickly, altering our lives forever. Or they can stretch over months, years, or decades, and the trial seems to linger throughout our lives for some reason. The trials can be small and irritating, or they could be huge and shattering. We want to look at three aspects in dissecting trials or persevering through trials. And here are these three keys of looking at trials. We want to look at them first, trust in attitude, trust in action, and thirdly, trust in aspect. Trust in attitude, trust in action, and trust in aspect. The first is trust in attitude. If you look at the passage, James opens up by saying, consider it, or you may have count it, all joy. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. It's interesting, the Greek word here for consider or count is actually a command. It's a command because our natural response to trouble is not joy, is it? What's our natural response to trouble or hardships? It's usually one of maybe anger, maybe one of complaining, maybe one of arguing, trying to argue yourself out of this, or maybe it's one of depression. But James here says not to be like that. Instead, he says to look on trials not with partial joy, but with all joy. Did you catch that? He said, consider it all joy. All joy. Another way to look at that is to look on it with pure joy, or unmixed joy, or complete and total joy. James is calling us to face trials with joy. That doesn't mean that we cannot grieve in the midst of the pain. In fact, we're called upon to grieve in certain circumstances. But there is to be joy behind the grief. Because if there is not joy behind the grief, what can quickly happen? The grief can lead to what? Despair. To no hope. But God says otherwise. So that there is hope, that there is to be joy behind it. Since it's a command that's given, it's not a matter of the feelings that James is invoking here. James is invoking that of the will. And thus it should be a conscious, determined commitment of every believer in Christ to be this way. When faith in Christ is genuine, James assures us that even the worst of trouble, that it should be the cause of thanksgiving and rejoicing. Kind of contrary to what we would naturally think. See, the more we rejoice in our testings, the more we realize that they are not liabilities, but privileges. That they are ultimately given to us from God for our benefit and not harmful, no matter how destructive and painful the immediate experience of them might be. Bottom line here is that there is a deep abiding joy when we trust God with our trials. Can we trust God with our trials? Job 23 says, "He knows the way I take when he has tried me. I shall come forth as gold." Job trusted God implicitly with the trials he sent his way. Can we do the same? Can we implicitly trust God with that trial? If you continue to look at our passage, James goes on to say, when you encounter various trials, he uses the word when here. The word when carries not just the idea of possibility, but of inevitability. You see? You get the same kind of look at Philippians in Philippians 1:29. Paul says the following, Philippians 1:29, "For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." See that? Paul says it's been foreordained for you to not only believe in Christ, but to suffer for his sake. James is saying the same thing, that trials should be expected as part of our living here. They're to be expected. He uses the word encounter, which has the literal meaning of following into unexpectedly. See, we never expect trials, do we? They seem to blindside us. When trials hit us, often response is what? I don't deserve this. It seems to be an unjust thing that's coming my way. But James is telling us to be expectant of the unexpected trial. Can we trust God with the unexpected hardships that come our way? Can we trust him enough to respond with joy when they come our way unexpectedly? Note that James also uses the word various trials to describe trials. Various, the basic meaning of trials is a type of trying or testing or proving. James has in mind here the idea of testing through trouble that has caused us any sort of difficulty. Various literally means variegated or many colored. What he's saying here is that the trials come to us in many different ways, many different shades of green, if you want to say that. Doesn't mean that we will face every kind of trouble in our life. But he is saying that we are subject to trials of every kind from every possible source. James is saying that no Christian is immune from any degree of trouble. And so we're not to be surprised when they come our way. He's saying that there is to be that predetermined Christian walk of joy that in a sense shields us from panic and despair when that trial comes our way. See that? See how he dissected it? We can have trials of many different sorts, of many different degrees. They can come on us very quickly or linger over our life. They can come and go. All these different kinds of things. We are not to be caught off guard when they do. Let's look at our second heading. What it means to persevere through trials. The second type of dissection is trust in action. Trust in action. And here we'll look at verse 3, where James says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. First of all, uses the word knowing. Knowing. Knowing here carries the idea of full understanding of something that is beyond the simply factual. Okay? It comes from simply experience. Do you have a kind of knowledge by experience in maybe your trade or your schooling or things that you do? You do, don't you? Okay, if you plant a garden, I have experience. I can build even a more elaborate garden and so on. I know what to do based on that experience. Well, Jesus used this same word for knowing in the parable of the fig tree in Mark 13. He says, when its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Jesus is simply saying, we know summer is near when we see the leaves coming out. Okay? We see that every year when springtime has come forth. Or in Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. People know God exists simply by living in his creation. What James is telling us is to walk knowing by past experience of what trials have done in our lives to be prepared for the future ones. See that? Can we do that? We've gone through these trials and they prepare us for the future ones. We can have experience for the future ones based on the experience of the old ones. That's what James is saying. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Then he says in verse 3 that he basically defines trials for us as the testing of our faith. It's the idea of testing something in order to prove or disprove its genuineness. See, when hardships come our way, we are to put on the mindset that God is proving the validity of our faith. See that? It's in the sense that helmet I put on so when they come my way, I know what he's doing with this hardship. He's testing the validity of our faith. And to push it further, in testing the validity of our faith, what's he doing? He's making our faith stronger. Faith is described elsewhere in Scripture as that which is more precious than gold. God is refining the gold. God is refining the faith to make it stronger, to make me more of a rock for him. And look how he finishes it in verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. James connects the result of trials, which is endurance. This is a powerful word here in Scripture. In some translations, maybe yours, it has the word patience. But here, it connotes the product or the consequence of patience, which is endurance. Patiently enduring the trial while trusting in the Lord develops endurance, which has a lasting quality. That's what God is doing in us, is building that lasting quality of endurance inside of us. See, patience is needed only as long as the trouble was with us. But endurance is that permanent inner quality of strength that it increases each time that a new trial comes our way and is trustingly endured. It's interesting, too, here is seen what we call the intertwined doctrines of the perseverance of the saints and the security of the believer. Sometimes you may have heard in Christian circles, can a Christian fall away? Can a Christian lose their salvation? Here it answers the question very neatly for us. That answer is no. The perseverance of the saints is from man's side. The security of the believer is from God's side. And the two are intertwined. The two are not independent. See, in man's side is the perseverance of the saints. From God's side, it's the security of the believer. And the key point is one comes before the other. Which comes before the other? God's part, the security of the believer, comes before the perseverance. So if I'm secure in Christ by faith in Him, then that security produces perseverance in my life to trustingly endure for Him. We see this in some other scriptures. In Matthew 24, verse 13, Jesus says, "The one who endures to the end, he will be saved." So Jesus is ascribing the perseverance of the saints. If you endure to the end, you will be saved. John 8:31, Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples." See, if you do this, this will happen. So he calls on for perseverance. But then we see God's part in John 17, for example. Or I'm sorry, in John 10:29, where Jesus says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." See that? So there's the security from God's side. We are in His hand and no one can snatch us out. So if we have the security of God in our lives, that will produce the perseverance. There's no other way of it. If you try to produce the perseverance without being saved in Christ, that perseverance will dwindle, will diminish, will be extinguished. We see them combined in Philippians 4:13, where Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." See that? I can do all things. Why? Because Christ strengthens me. There's the intertwining of the two doctrines. In the end, perseverance is inseparable from holiness. A life that is consistently immoral or ungodly cannot persevere because it doesn't belong to God. It's almost like the pursuit of holiness is a synonym for perseverance. If we don't have divine protection, we'll have no real desire to persevere in the faith. And so endurance, that key word, is the result of trials for the believer. That endurance produces a stronger walk of holiness, which produces a stronger walk of perseverance. God is behind it all to cause us to endure through the trials. But lastly, we come to our third point, and that is trust by aspect. Trust by aspect. This is found in verse 4, where James says, "Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." James is here telling us the perfect result of endurance, that we would be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Perfect here carries the idea not of a moral or spiritual perfection, or a type of sinlessness. Many groups out there develop false doctrines from this particular passage. So James is not calling us to sinlessness, because we will have a sinful heart all the way to the end. But it's that idea of that which is being fully developed. We see this in Galatians 4:19, where Paul says, "My children, with whom I am in labor again until Christ is formed in you." James here is talking about spiritual maturity. See, that's the point of the passage. That God brings trials into my life to cause endurance. Endurance has the result of what? Spiritual maturity. That's what James is calling us to look at in our lives. We've all gone through trials, haven't we? Some more than others. Some more severe than others. But can you look over the realm of your life and see what the trial has caused you to do in your life? Can you see the trials that have been in your life causing a type of spiritual maturity in your life? Can you see that in your life? If you can, that's a great joy that God is in your life, and a great joy of the assurance of salvation. See? If a person does not have Christ in their life, they're not going to see increase in spiritual maturity, but the opposite, a type of despair, a living in a type of bitterness all their lives. Let me close by sharing a piece of commentary on James from a past theologian, Warren Wiersbe, where he writes the following. It's a powerful quote, so be ready. He says, "Our values determine our evaluations. If we value comfort more than character, then trials will upset us. If we value material and physical more than spiritual, we will not be able to count it all joy. If we live only for the present and forget the future, the trials will make us bitter, not better. If a Christian cannot rejoice in his trials, his values are not godly and biblical." Very, very powerful saying there. In the end, Wiersbe and James, the point is calling us to look on trials from divine viewpoint. I've got to get my mind from working in divine viewpoint. Therefore, I must be staying in this book to have this book dictate my thoughts. So when trials come, I look at it from God's viewpoint, not my own. And then I can trust Him for that perfect work that He is going to do in my life through that trial. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of your word from James. We ask that you would give us increased faith to trust you for the work that you do through trials, and that you would cause us to encourage one another when those trials come to trust in you who orchestrates it all, that you are sovereign behind the trials, that behind a dark providence is a smiling face. Would you give us grace to trust in you, no matter how painful and how much grief the trials come? Give us grace to trust in you in that moment, to not panic, to not end up in despair, but simply rest back in your arms. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.